Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mixed martial arts and boxing fans, it's time for Fighter's Fury, Inside the Heart of a Champion, with your hosts, Brendan Tobin, Seema, and Tommy Guns. It's time for Fighter's Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome on in. It is Fighter's Fury here on 790, The Ticket. Tobin here with you. For the next hour, we will dive all over the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. A lot to dive into today. I was down over at Media Day this week at American Top Team. The UFC was hosting a little media shindig over at the gym. Got a chance to talk to some interesting peeps. We're going to talk to the Panthers' Sean Thornton in just a matter of minutes, or you guys will hear my conversation with him from the gym. For those of you who don't know, Sean, who was known as Panthers Badass for a long, long time, champion with the Boston Bruins. I would say that Sean was known for his fists on the ice, and he's been a longtime trainer of mixed martial arts, or trainee of mixed martial arts. He trains mixed martial arts. I don't know what that words radio. Anyway, he's going to join us. He's had a big influence on getting the UFC back here, and an interesting conversation with him. But I want to start with last night at UFC Nashville. Amazing, amazing win by Anthony Showtime Pettis over Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. And, you know, Anthony has had such an interesting career because of how fast it started off. I mean, you're talking about a guy who could basically be considered the logo of mixed martial arts for a while. I mean, how often when you're trying to convince people to like mixed martial arts and what it can bring outside of boxing, who doesn't show their friends the Showtime kick? Who doesn't show their friends the kick off the cage on Ben Henderson from WEC? Everybody does. When you just want, and people who don't even watch mixed martial arts have likely seen the Showtime kick. Everybody has. A young champion, a guy who is looked upon as one of the best fighters on the planet, could do a little bit of everything, cover the Wheaties box. He seemed like he had the total package. And the sport being as unforgiving as it is, it took a piece of Anthony Pettis. This is a guy who, you know, had some hard times at 155 pounds. You know, had cut himself down to 145 pounds, missing weight 145 pounds. And now found himself yesterday at this place after just an incredible fight with Tony Ferguson, where Tony Ferguson won by pure savagery. He decided, I'm going to go up to 170 pounds, called out Wonderboy Thompson, who, by all accounts, has been atop the 170 division now for a good 5 years, has taken out former champions, has gone toe-to-toe with Tyron Woodley, who's established as one of the best welterweight champions of all time. This is a huge, huge task upon Anthony Pettis' plate that he was taking. And he goes in there. And looks, I mean, I'm watching this first round, and just like you know, he's getting these lower leg kicks in, but he just looks a beat slower than Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson looks a little bit crisper, doesn't look like he's telegraphing as much. And, you know, they get into the second round, he's busted up a little bit, the nose is bleeding. I just get in, I'm like, man, I don't think this is going to go well for him. I don't think this is going to go the path of what Anthony Pettis was hoping this to be. And he continues to put money in the bank on this kick down low. And then just, I mean, off the cage, hits this Superman punch that's almost like a Superman hook right on Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, knocks him dead. Dead. Couple follow-up shots. But it was like this leap, not off the cage, but pretty close to it. He got like a little bit of momentum on the cage. Step up, Superman punch, and dead Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. It was crazy. I mean, you were talking about an Anthony Pettis now having two of these just iconic knockouts. These just unbelievable showcases of athleticism, creativity, talent. gets himself a win at welterweight, and what a moment for him. What a moment for him, because, you know, a guy who goes up in weight, he takes on an absolute top contender in Wonderboy Thompson, a guy that nobody really wants to fight. Like, you fight Stephen Wonderboy Thompson because you're trying to get somewhere, but ideally he's a hard matchup for everybody. It's not any, it's basically like going in there and you're fighting a cobra. He's that kind of quick on his strikes. He's got this difficult style that you got to face. And you're going in there. This is the thing that's interesting about Anthony Pettis. He's going in there trying to outstrike one of the best strikers in the UFC from an accuracy standpoint, from a speed standpoint, and did it. Pulled something out that Stephen Wonderboy Thompson hadn't seen. Wonderboy, who was just getting off these incredible combinations, incredible speed, incredible accuracy, and was able to throw everything against the wall and come out with that to put him away. Unbelievable. Unbelievable moment for him. Congratulations to him. It was spectacular. It really was. It was really, really great. So we'll get more into that as the show rolls on. But I want to get to my conversation with Sean Thornton, who is Panthers ambassador. He had a big role in getting the UFC back to Fort Lauderdale. He was over at American Top Team earlier this week. I went down there on Thursday and just basically talked to him for a few minutes about what it took to get the UFC here. And what do you think? Where he thinks the popularity of mixed martial arts is going in South Florida? So here's my conversation with Sean Thornton.
Very excited about this. It's no surprise that a lot of the return of the UFC, which is coming to the BB&T Center on April 27th, you guys know we've been giving away tickets. It's been really awesome, and you guys are excited about it. No surprise that Panthers badass ambassador for all this, Sean Thornton, has had a big hand in this. And so, Sean, can you explain to, I guess, our audience the idea of bringing the UFC back to South Florida for the first time since 2015, when the idea, you know, struck with you and the process of getting it all going?
Well, our president kind of alluded to the fact that he wanted to find a way of maybe bring it back. So I reached out to Kenny Florian. I've known Dana for a number of years from my time in Boston. We did some charity stuff when a couple events were in Boston with my time with the Bruins. So I asked Kenny for his number and texted him and said, my president and I would love to sit down and have a chat with you and see. We know you said you'd never come back to South Florida, but we'd like to have a conversation. So we went out and had brunch with him and Peter and just said that, you know, we're all in, we're good guys, we're stable, we'll do whatever it takes to help it be a successful event. Shook hands on it, and then about a year and a bit later, we got a phone call saying, is the building available on April 27th? We said, let's check, and it was, and you know, there's a little bit more to it than that, obviously, but that's the quick story of how it came to be.
Well, I can tell you, like, the fans were excited that it was coming back, but we do know, like, the reputation the market had with it, with it leaving. So, like, when it first kind of got trickled out, the whole card, I guess, wasn't out. And so some people forget, including myself, but because the whole Yoel thing, that was the first thing that was reported. But you didn't know, because I guess he was on this reality show. Were you worried at all, like, how it was all going to come into full? Because that's an odd situation. A dude's on a reality show, and you're not quite sure if he's going to be able to fight in the main event.
Through some back channels, it was loosely mentioned that they were still hoping for him. So I wasn't concerned. I would have been concerned if I got a hard no on him. But the whole card wasn't out yet. We were out there 3-4 weeks ago, like a week or two before it was announced, the whole card. And we had walked through a few scenarios on what could happen. And I was pretty confident that they were putting a really solid card together. And obviously, you see it's a pretty good card. So we're excited. Ticket sales have been going great. I think pacing faster than we expected. So you can tell people are excited for it to come back.
He's taking on Jacare Souza. Did you get a chance to see that first fight with these two? Because it was hotly contested. It was very controversial. But these guys, I mean, they make for an incredible matchup. And Yoel, I mean, he always has a crowd-pleasing style. Big down here. The last time we were down here with the Hard Rock, people were buzzing for him a lot. So what do you expect from this?
I think it's going to be a good one. I didn't get to see the first one. I think it was right around when my child was born, and I was going to bed at about 9:30 every single night. I wasn't staying up for those anymore. But, you know, in reading about it and looking into it, I think people are excited to see the rematch. I heard it was a very close one, like you said, controversial. So maybe they can put all those comments to rest.
What do you think in your mind, as, you know, you do training here at American Top Team, and it's obviously such a hotbed of talent as far as people being crazy about training for it. They obviously have a big gym like this because people like to do this and like to get, you know, healthy doing this kind of stuff as well. Just South Florida as a market, because it is such an important place for people to train, do you think this is a place that can become a regular home for it again for the UFC?
Yeah, I do. I mean, there's something. It's crazy. We did the research. There's something like 100 gyms in this immediate area, obviously this being the flagship and having the majority of the fighters. But, you know, just the surrounding area, there's so many gyms, so many fight people that are involved in some sort of martial art or fighting sport. So we knew that the market was there. Now it's starting to show that, you know, people want to come out and watch. So I'm glad that we have, you know, a few local guys on the card as well. I think that helps. But yeah, I think that this area is prime. I think it's the right time to bring it back.
Can you kind of give us a sense of, you know, you doing training this? Were you doing this in your playing days? Because you were already a feared person on the ice. Like, were you adding this to your repertoire just to help with the fighting?
Well, I wasn't more helping with the fighting. I boxed for most of my life, but the jiu-jitsu started when I became friends with Kenny Florian when I was in Boston. You know, I was a fan of UFC 1, 2, and 3, and you know, seeing the little guy in the gi beating up everybody else, it was but then getting to know Kenny and him walking me through it, and then, you know, I did it for my last 5 years playing hockey, but I could only do it in the off season. I wasn't training during the season, so I would train for 5 months, learn a few things, forget it all by the time I came back. So for the last couple of years, I've been doing it fairly consistently. It's such a humbling sport, such a fun, you're always learning. And for me, you know, my goal is to just not get fat right now. I'm not really trying to push it like I did when I was playing. So this is a good way to sweat out a couple beers and stay even in the morning.
Well, we appreciate it, Sean Thorne. We're looking forward to it. April 27th, guys, get your tickets. BB&TCenter.com, is that the best way to go, or you go to UFC.com?
I think it's Ticketmaster. All the tickets, I think, are on Ticketmaster.
Ticketmaster.com. Go check it out, guys. Joel Romero, Jacare Souza, awesome card. Greg Hardy making his Octagon debut. Glover Teixeira, a lot of great guys locally down here. We appreciate the time, Sean. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good seeing you.
Thanks to Sean Thorne. I should correct myself. Greg Hardy making his Octagon return. He made his Octagon debut a couple months ago when he lost via disqualification. So he is making his return. But yeah, thanks to Sean sitting down a couple minutes with me over at American Top Team. That gym is incredible. Hadn't been there since the whole revamp of everything going down there. And we got some more stuff that's coming your way in the coming weeks of fighters we've gotten to talk to while we were there. It was a really good time. It was a really good time. Shout out to Dave from the UFC for being a good host, man. And Sean seems excited about it. They had Yoel Romero and Jacare Souza at one of the Panthers games this week. They did the ceremonial puck drop, did a cool little face-off right there on the ice. And it is good to see everything kind of come to fruition, because it is important. I mean, as we talk about on the show all the time, you guys know that we're out there a lot watching the regional circuit as far as the fight cards that are down here and all the up-and-comers that are down here and people, you know, establishing themselves, whether it be in boxing or mixed martial arts. But it is something to have the big show come to your town and that you be able to show out that you could support it. And, you know, just the amount of people that are fans of this down here, you hope that they go out there and the sport, just to show that this can be a place that's a bit in the rotation. Maybe they could visit every year or every other year, and that isn't completely blacklisted as it was. So thanks again to Sean Thornton for stopping by. When we come back, we'll get into a lot of it going on in the UFC, a lot of news and notes as far as what happened this week. There was a champion that lost his belt because of a drug test, and I can't exactly say I'm super surprised by it. We'll get to that when we come back right after this.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
All right, welcome back, guys. It's Fighters Fury here on The Ticket. Tobin here with you as news came out this week about TJ Dillashaw and him having to give up his belt. So we'll get to that in just a minute as not exactly surprising news that went down this week. And also, it seems like the heavyweight championship of the world between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury is completely dead in the water, as they've announced that Deontay has his next opponent. He's going to be fighting on Showtime coming up in May. So we have that to look forward to as well. But speaking of boxing, I want to give a quick shout out to our guy, Harold Calderon, King Calderon, as he moved to 19-0 this week. Fifth round TKO at the Miccosukee Resort and Gaming. He got himself a nice knockout win in the fifth round. I just want to give a shout out to him. You know, he trains down here in Miami. He's one of Miami's own boxers and a friend of the program, was in our Give Dwayne Biscayne video, and just looks, I mean, vastly improved every time he steps into the ring. Looks sharper. He's down to stop guys on the regular now, and you can just see the development of those talents as he continues to work his ass off. I'm just hoping that he gets the opportunity to do it on a bigger stage and a bigger broadcast stage. And I'm telling you, you know, from all these stages that I go to between, you know, the cards in Dallas or you know, Vegas that I've gone to, this dude can hang. This dude can definitely hang with some of the people that they have on those cards. So I'm hoping that that bigger opportunities and bigger exposure come his way, because certainly deserving of it. And you root for a guy who works that hard, who trains that hard. And just want to give him a congrats, man. Sorry I couldn't make it out to this one, but it definitely will be at the next one for 20-0 for sure. So congratulations to our guy, Harold, as he had himself a great performance. So this week the news was announced that TJ Dillashaw is going to give up his bantamweight title because he had what he described as an adverse finding in his drug test. Adverse. And look, man, I don't pile on things a lot, but that TJ Dillashaw, Henry Cejudo, go down the flyweight thing stunk from the get-go. And so the idea that he popped for some kind of test when a guy's never fought at flyweight before, oh, he's felt better than ever, but he had to fight at his lowest weight class. Oh, and by the way, not taking shots is great. Really? Really? A guy who was getting pummeled in the face by Cody Garbrandt, all of a sudden, his body ain't acting as so natural when he gets down to a lower weight class. Color me shocked. Can't believe it. I'm a little bit stunned if you can't tell. I mean, of course he found something adverse. Let me get this straight. You thought that guy just decided to go on a fast, and that's how he got down there the same way? Not likely. So, yeah, not exactly surprised that TJ Dillashaw, they found something adverse in his system. And kind of an appropriate ending to that entire saga, because I thought the entire thing was dopey from the start. Going down in weight to go get... Who cares?
No pun intended, huh?
Who cares about going down in weight to get belts? It's so silly. I'm going to shrink myself down to 125 pounds, and I'm going to start myself, and then I'm going to go fight. I got gold.
But he's going to come in the cage at 145.
Right. It's like, come on, man. It didn't smell right to me, Seema. Good morning, by the way.
What it smelled like? Good morning.
Smell like a rat. Smell like a rat. And by the way.
Wow, conspiracy theorist.
Hey, look. And by the way, Cody Garbrandt, who, you know, lost twice to TJ Dillashaw, doing the old frog sipping the tea emojis, because he was out there on the stage. He's like, hey, you know, this guy's on stage. He showed me how to do steroids.
Wow.
That's how much this guy's on steroids. He's given courses on it at Team Alpha Male. I mean, think of what you want with that material or not, but yeah, man, not that surprising that TJ Dillashaw popped on this stuff. So he loses his belt, and the way they're going with it is they're going to go Marlon Moraes, who's been on an absolute tear, and Henry Cejudo, he's going to get to move up in weight and fight for the 135 belt. Don't have a huge problem with it because I don't know what the hell the future is of flyweight anyway. And it's probably better off for Henry, who's already knocked out the 135 champ. Of course he deserves to fight for the 135 belt. Makes complete sense. You agree, Seema?
I would agree.
All right.
You know me and the flyweights.
Not a fan.
No. Not a fan.
Nor is promotion.
I mean, you know, equal opportunity for all, regardless of weight. But just, they're rare. I won't say never. They're rarely entertaining fights.
I thought Mighty Mouse got more entertaining as his career went on, because he was just...
He started to go for the knockout.
Yeah.
And not just be so
but
technical.
I think the reputation was already too ingrained in people's mind.
Like,
you know?
Watching a GSP fight.
Kind of.
You know, if you saw him punch somebody and knock somebody out. It was either on accident,
right,
or it was just a fluke.
How did you, speaking of knockouts, what did you think of, did you see Anthony Pettis last night with the Superman punch?
I saw the highlight. You know I didn't see it on ESPN Plus.
Well, you bet. Hey, you better get that ESPN Plus because everything's on it.
Pay-per-view's only for me.
It's ESPN Plus UFC. That's the entire name of the organization now.
I'm old school.
There's nothing on television anymore.
I watch the pay-per-views. And then I look for the highlights. At least on ESPN, you know, you get the full highlight of the knockout. You don't get this on FS1. You get this leading up to, let's show three shots, and then you get a still of a guy
I've never gotten that because once the pay-per-views are bought, they're bought.
It's done.
Why not show it? I guess they're hoping on replay. I think nothing's dead. But did you hear the news this week about ESPN Plus?
What's the news?
Okay, so Dana White.
This sounds deep.
Well, you're not going to like this. That's why. Dana White came out with an announcement this week. First of all, he signed a 7-year extension.
Yeah, I heard that he signed a 7-year extension for, it's like baseball player money.
Is it?
I think so.
I didn't see what the money was, but I just thought it was seven years.
He was getting paid $40 million a year before.
Right.
So, you know, you could only assume it's either going to be the same or more significant.
Well, the thing that they announced was that ESPN Plus is now going to be the distributor for pay-per-views. So you have to have a subscription. Now, this isn't a huge deal for me because I have ESPN Plus, but a lot of people are upset because there's no more DirecTV is going to host it or
Xfinity is going to host it. You're upset. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, so
let's do something about it.
You have you have to have ESPN Plus now to buy the pay-per-views. There's still pay-per-view price. I think they're masking it as like you could buy them for $60. But you got to pay $5 a month for ESPN Plus. So it's still the same way all going to ESPN Plus on the split.
So I have to, do the whole smart TV configuration?
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah. I don't have to tell you,
man. I'll be asking for those bootleg links from you.
Yeah. Well, I can always get you those.
Not that you have them.
Well.
But I would ask you
dump that, Antoine.
Inquire.
But, yes, I do. I'm very privy to the Slovenian websites. Hello, you want to watch UFC 249? Hello.
Fight time.
Hello, fight time. Hello, you like this? Very good. All you have to do is watch UFC in reverse. It's the same.
It is.
That's the way it rolls.
He hit him with a right hook. No, he didn't. Hit him with a left hook.
I mean, look, man, this is, I guess, the wave of the future. I don't know. But 7 years, that's where it's going to be.
So I'm trying to figure out, I guess Fight Pass was purchased by ESPN.
I'm to understand.
They gave him that data.
Yes.
They leveraged that data in the deal. And
yes.
I'm sure that Fight Pass was a part of the
I don't see any cards. I don't see any cards on Fight Pass anymore. I think the Fight Pass.
It's ESPN. I want to say EF.
I think the only thing they're going to do for Fight Pass is I know they got Roy Jones boxing on there. I know that there's some regional stuff on there, but I don't think the UFC fights. I don't think that's on there anymore, man. Roy Jones promotion's not your thing.
Not really.
Yeah. So you saw the highlight of it. Pretty cool. A cool moment for him.
It was a great moment for him. Obviously, it's a critical lesson for many, including Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Regardless
Nobody
of how
does
much
that
you're,
to him.
You're Well, how much you're dominating a fight, you never get complacent.
Yeah.
And he got complacent.
Yeah.
He normally doesn't leave himself susceptible, especially to a Superman punch.
Oh, no.
You know, this is a guy that leans back in his stance.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen him rocked before, but those are usually guys bullying him up against the cage like that.
Yes.
Not like that.
No, that was – it didn't even look at one point like it was a really hard, clean shot.
Yeah.
Because he seemed to be going backwards – and I never understand, I get the leverage when pushing off the fence, but it didn't look like Pettis actually got a good push off the fence.
No, it looked like a straight jump. I think it was also just the angle of it. It was almost, Tyron Woodley described almost like a Superman hook.
Yeah.
Normally it's just
he came around
on
the guard.
Yeah, it was really impressive. He's dynamic. It's one of those things with, he's had a hard career since getting to the top.
There he is right there.
Yeah, he's had a hard career since getting to the top. But, man, that's actually a pretty cool stat that they put up there. He joins Conor McGregor and Kenny Florin as the only fighters with wins at featherweight, lightweight, and welterweight. He's so damn talented. I mean, there was a reason that this guy was on the covers of the, cover of the Wheaties box, but...
Agreed. Something happened, though.
Something happened.
I think that, and he's alluded to without coming out and saying it, I think they made him a more tactical, conservative fighter to create value for him, not necessarily for the fans, and interest in the fan from the fans' perspective. But I think that they kind of toned him down a little bit, and he mentioned yesterday after the fight that this is his, he's embracing his new fight style, and he's coming, and he's going to make it exciting for the fans, whether he wins or loses.
Yeah.
Like a Diego Sanchez.
Absolutely.
Which, by the way, 2 weeks ago, that Diego Sanchez fight. You got to love Diego Sanchez.
He's the man. Come on, man.
I think the next fight for Conor's Diego Sanchez and Conor McGregor.
What?
What two guys are going to just stand and trade?
I don't know. Everybody's calling out Conor. I saw Tyron Woodley called out Conor.
Payday, seven figures.
Jorge Masvidal called out Conor this week. They all sound understanding. Like, those are all fun Conor fights. Obviously, the Cowboy fight that was first
I
talked
loved
about.
That fight.
Man, I wanted that fight too. Now it looks like Cowboy's fighting Ally Aquinta instead, because you know Cowboy's not going to wait on Conor's terms. He's going to go fight, and if he wins, he'll then call out the Conor fight. But and then you know people
with a Budweiser in his hand.
I think some people were talking yesterday. Woodley and Ben Askren were talking about. I think Pettis versus McGregor was always a fun fight.
I think that's a great fight.
That's a great fight too. Like, there's a lot of fun Conor fights to be made. It's just. It's all in kind of Conor's court. What does he want to do? Does he want to do fun fights? Does he want to do the Nate Diaz fight again? That was kicked around. I know he did some media this week and said that I still owe him the trilogy. I am going to give that to him.
Who said that? Conor?
Conor did. Conor said that to media. He's like, I do owe him a fight. He gave me the rematch. I owe him a rematch.
That's cool.
So I don't know when that's going to happen.
He's going to wait till Diaz is out of shape.
That's never going to happen. Like, Diaz is not going to get out of shape.
As he gets close, inches closer to 40 and celebrates 420 religiously every day, he's going to start to slow down.
You think so?
Yes.
Well, I think he did just say this. What was his recent thing? He says he wants to do it fights at 185.
There you go.
Like, not about cutting weight anymore.
That's a sign.
But I'll tell you what, man. Like,
and Conor at 185 is a horrible idea.
Oh, no, that's too big for him.
Yeah.
170 is
now. If you weigh his ego, then you might make 185.
Maybe.
Yes.
But yeah, 170 is probably the most he could go to, and it has to be certain guys. There's not, and he can't do everybody there because there's some like Conor versus Kamaru Usman. That's bad news. Conor versus Ben Askren. That's bad news.
Shut your mouth.
Him versus Tyron Woodley would be kind of fun.
Woodley's just gonna take him down.
You think so? He wouldn't try and strike with him.
Nope.
Because that'd be a fun fight.
I mean, he may strike with him in the first minute or two.
Because Tyron's kind of stocky.
Set up the takedown.
Tyron's kind of stocky. He's not a huge 170-er. So I think that'd be kind of fun.
Have we talked about the early stop? Well, we probably did. The early stoppage on Robbie Lawler?
I don't know if you and I did together.
That was horrible.
It was horrible. I was talking about this last week because I recorded the show from Dallas. And... I think that
the thumb up and everything, like, yeah. Herb Dean.
Well,
this is
what I think, because Ben Askren.
Do they drug test refs?
I don't know. Herb Dean's looking a little bit. Talking about not being able to cut weight. Herb Dean's looking a little bit bigger.
Yeah, he's got a nice size tire.
But I thought Ben Askren spent that whole fight lead up to Darren Till versus Jorge Masvidal just calling out Till, kind of tried to pivot and call out Masvidal, but you kind of bleeped up, like you only. Accounted for one guy winning. I don't care about you fighting Jorge Masvidal now, and clearly nobody else does either. So, you know, it would have been the natural place to go if Till would have beaten Masvidal to go fight Ben Askren. But, hey, man, if you really don't have a dance partner and you don't have any of these people and everybody else seems kind of tied up, yeah, it feels like the only place for him to go is to go right that ship with Robbie Lawler and fight him again.
Yeah, but he don't want to do it. You know why he doesn't want to do it? Because I think he felt Lawler's power.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't want to do it again.
He got destroyed. It was crazy.
I thought it was a horrible stoppage, but I didn't hear much about it circulating afterwards. It wasn't like nobody called Herb Dean out and like, oh, mandatory rematch. I know Dana came out that night
and said
it's
a
mandatory rematch. And then Askren said, not interested.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Like, if Askren just says no, I mean, is the UFC going to cut him? I mean, they have before. I mean, well, they've kept him out before.
No, Dana will figure out who else can I put in front of him. Maybe he puts Masvidal in front of him. You know, Masvidal at one point was looked at as the gatekeeper.
I know.
Remember?
I wanted him to get – well, he said this week that because I kind of want – I was like, man, Masvidal, Miami getting the title shot, I want that. Even though Colby trains down here and he trains an American Top Team, you know, Colby's from Portland. He's like Chael Sonnen's protege.
Yeah.
So
you can tell he's Chael Sonnen's protege.
I know. It's kind of like he's like, here's the notes. Listen, first you go and anger Brazil. Second, you make fun of people's intelligence. Then you antagonize the boss. It's like these are the plays that worked for me. Because it is like Chael was on this run where he was just a guy who was just the wrestling guy and was getting wins. He was a good fighter, but wasn't noticed until he started getting brash on the mic and started playing the bad guy role. Colby is the same way. Like, it's not the most entertaining fight style.
Yeah,
he's a fun – like, he goes hard, but
think
it's not –
about it. Chael Sonnen, Anderson Silva, John Jones. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
He talked his way into fights that he didn't deserve or earn.
Right.
At least in the cage.
Colby's at this point right now where I thought that fight against Rafael dos Anjos, there was a lot of pressure on him going into that fight because he did talk a lot of bleep. And that, I mean, it worked. That entire arena booed his ass off. They hated him. But he showed up. And the whole thing did trickle down with he was the interim champ, didn't fight when the company wanted him to. So I don't have a problem with them giving him the title shot. But, man, I would love to see Masvidal in the spot for the title.
Me too.
Because he has just been doing this thing for so long. And to win like that in another country.
And he'd have to fight.
I don't know.
Usman?
Yes, Usman's the champ now. Tough matchup.
It's a very tough matchup, but also isn't Usman out for like...
He's going to be out a little bit. He was
a few months.
He was on Rogan's podcast, and he had another knee surgery.
Hernia, a fractured foot, and knee surgery.
I think he'll be back probably the summertime, if I had to guess. We'll see. We'll be back after this.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
All right, welcome back. Fighters Fury here on The Ticket. Tobin and Sima here with you. So it was announced this week that Deontay Wilder will be fighting Dominic Brazil on Showtime in May, and that Tyson Fury is fighting Tom Schwartz in June.
The accountant?
Man, I mean, thanks.
He sounds like an accountant or a lawyer.
Boxing, shout out. Thank you. I mean, only you. Only you beautiful bastard, you. Only you could screw up the heavyweight championship of the world like that. It was like, oh, you guys had one of the most epic fights of all time. And there was one guy almost got knocked dead. He got up. He almost, you know what? We're going to go our separate ways. Why rematch? Why do that? I don't understand. It was so easy.
Protection.
Well, it's not only, protection.
Well, boxing has mastered witness protection. And really, the FBI should take tips.
Yeah.
From the boxing industry for witness protection.
Yeah, Bob Arum and Al Heyman should just be running witness protection.
This is where we need to put him.
We'll put him on a fight. Nobody will see. Nobody will care. We'll slice you off a little bit. You got no shot of losing. It's all good.
We'll even put it on paper.
It's crazy.
We'll throw everybody off.
I was talking, like, months ago, we were thinking, like, man, these two, they kind of stole the buzz from Anthony Joshua.
Agreed.
The buzz of relevancy from Anthony Joshua, and they just gave it right back. It's very frustrating. Like, if you guys had this opportunity, this grand opportunity to say, oh, he may have more belts, but we got the belt that matters. And now, man, what matters? They're going to still run around with Tyson Fury talking about that lineal champ nonsense and
what does that even mean?
I don't know. Well, it's like he's the guy that beat the last lineal guy, and then he got his belt stripped. But the lineal championship isn't really – it's not like a championship you win. It's kind of like a championship you're distinguished with.
It's like Wonder Woman's jet.
Yes.
Yes.
Kind of. What?
It's invisible.
Yes.
And you can ride on it as long as you want.
Right.
You can see the world.
It's just a thing.
But you can't put it on.
Yeah, it's just a thing they're going to say. So then Tom Schwartz, he has the chance to become lineal champion, I guess.
Wow.
So, bully for him. Good for him. And then
so the invisible belt is on the line.
Correct.
Do they actually, after he wins, does somebody come and strap the invisible belt around his waist?
Yeah, you need a black light to see it. You got to wave it up around his waist. And there it is. We see it. It's clear as day now.
That and $100 get you into Live.
Oh my God! It's so irritating, man. Like you had it all perfectly played up. Oh, these guys are gonna fight. You know, I like the Jarrell Miller versus Anthony Joshua fight. Crazy enough, Anthony Joshua has backed his way into the most relevant heavyweight fight. Like it was gonna be Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury, but not no more. Wild,
amazing, and he signed a DAZN deal too, right?
Wilder?
No.
Joshua. Oh, I don't. Yes, he kind of is because his promoter Eddie Hearn is with DAZN, but I think he's got still such a big deal that he can kind of do what he wants if he wanted to. DAZN also did this thing this week, which is not surprising because they're throwing a lot of money at people. They announced that they're upping their prices. So if you didn't have DAZN,
we said that a month ago.
I know, right? DAZN. They upped. It's $9.99 a month if you have it already. If you don't, it's now $19.99 a month, or you can buy $100 for the year. So, I mean, if you go that way, not a bad discount. I'm not doing that because I got the old rate. But I guess I'm going to have to next year because I got an email and everything. It says, like, on March of 2020, your price will up to this. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You guys are – because it's like – you feel like you're getting a good deal, but it's like, are you? Right. Are you? And that broadcast isn't fantastic yet, man. Like I've watched a lot of, like, if I have to pony up the stream.
Is Buffer on there?
Yes, he is. Which is not surprising because it buffers a lot when you're watching it. It's appropriate. Like, I'll be watching a fight and they'd be like, hey, it's like, oh, what was this? Was this top of the card? When was this? This goes out of nowhere. That's the one frustrating thing about streaming, man. It's just like
they're testing whether you're paying attention or not.
It got me so bad one time. I remember watching, like, when I first got it, I was watching this Bellator card. I don't know who the top fighters are on a Bellator card. I know who the main players are. I probably know from, like, co-main event, main event. Maybe I'll know the fight beforehand. Do you think I'm going to know who the top fighters are on a Bellator card? So, like, I was watching this fight, and then all of a sudden, I think I, like, went to go get a sandwich. I come back, there's another fight on. I was like, oh, that kind of moved along quick. Where turned out I was at the top of the card because I'm, like, looking on Twitter. I'm like, this doesn't look like the same results that I'm in. Very confused about what's going on there. It's an interesting time for fight fans as far as how you consume your stuff because
people are in such a rush to put technology platforms out that they don't even try them out before they put them out.
Yeah.
And that's a prime example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
at least with ESPN, you know, you're getting quality production. You're getting
ESPN
top notch.
When I use, like, now that I have, like, the Fire Stick in the and have the app up for ESPN Plus, it's great. That works great. DAZN, very mediocre as far as just everything with it, like the broadcast, the quality of it. It's got some kinks that work out,
wah.
Man. Wah, wah, wah. So yeah, man. As far as yesterday is concerned, other big news event, you had Curtis Blaydes. He got himself a win over Willis. he renamed Big Pretty with another name that rhymes with that, which I can't say on the radio. But let's just say it's another nickname for Moobs. And so he put in that work. He wrestled him. And, you know, for Curtis Blaydes, he's suffered two bad losses to Francis Ngannou, and other than that, he's looked like a handful wrestling-wise for everybody else. He called out Stipe, Derek Lewis, and Junior Dos Santos. I feel like Stipe would give him the business. We haven't heard from Stipe. I mean, it's a weird thing, because Stipe is sitting here. He lost his fight to DC. He's been waiting for his rematch with Daniel Cormier and hasn't been fighting anything else since.
Yeah, because Cormier is still barking up Brock Lesnar.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. And I don't know when we're gonna get that. If you know, he was on the broadcast yesterday. It was just the first time we DC. First time we'd seen him in a while. I don't feel like he's been on the broadcast for a while.
He was still sulky about the light heavyweight thing.
Is he?
I think so.
I mean, well, like,
he got stripped.
Kind of. He just gave it up.
Well,
but he was gonna lose. Like, you're not gonna fight John Jones at light heavyweight.
Come on, run it back.
At heavyweight, though, right? Like, not at light heavyweight. You want to see that? Why?
I don't want to see John at heavyweight.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
I just don't. I just don't have an interest. I just think, you know, all it does is going to open up the conversation all over again about steroids.
Really?
Yes. Because he's going to have to bulk up.
Isn't that so inevitable, though? Like, he's always going to be tied to that.
Yeah, but if you stay at light heavyweight and just keep doing your thing, stay there for 2-3 more years, then you could at least, you know how we are. United States, land of second chances.
Right.
Thirds and fourths. I think let some time go by and then gradually go up to heavyweight.
I just think if he's going
to... When you get to the age where you can't cut the weight anymore, go to heavyweight.
Yeah, but I think he's always going to be able to cut that weight, though. He's got such a strange body. He's like Gumby on the bottom, but he's like the Hulk up top. It's so...
Swimmer's body.
Yeah, I've said this before, like meeting a lot of fighters, he's just got his hands and his limbs, and it's all just very, it's just massive. Like, you just see why he has success.
He'd be a great basketball player, wouldn't he?
Maybe. I don't know.
Play him in some one-on-one.
He doesn't have very big legs, so I don't know what his hops would be. So I don't know about that.
Yeah, he could get up.
But the reason I just want him to continue to just dominate and be known as the greatest. Like, for me, I feel like the light heavyweight thing is always going to have that steroid test on it because that's where it happened. If he goes up to heavyweight, yeah, I guess the bulking stuff will come back. Obviously, if he fights DC, that's always going to be a talking point because of the test being positive. But I just look at the kind of the crop right now at 205, and I'm like, who are the guys that are going to extend that legacy even more?
Yeah, but when he comes in at what's he going to come in possibly at heavyweight? 225, 230?
Yeah.
And he's going to be fighting guys 265 that are wrestler-based?
But if we were to say, okay, do you think that he would be Junior Dos Santos?
Yeah, only because those guys are done.
What about Stipe?
I think that would be trouble.
You think Stipe would be trouble?
I think so, because Stipe, I think, will wrap him up.
What about Francis Ngannou?
Interesting fight. I think that Ngannou has more power than he would. So all he's got to do is connect
Francis
with
would
a
be
hangbanger.
You know what Francis would be? Francis would be us. You know how we've always wanted to see him versus Rumble, and we never got to see John take on a guy who can just dead you with one shot.
Yeah.
Francis would be that. But Francis cuts to 265 to the limit.
I saw Rumble recently. He could make heavyweight right now.
He says he's only coming back for a heavyweight fight against John. That's what he said. And he's big. He looks like he eats iron.
Yeah, I saw him about a month ago.
Yeah, I saw him too. He's
big boy.
He's thick. He's thick. He looks like he could bench press 300 with his neck.
Is he still CBD in it?
I don't know, man. I don't know what he's up to. But he's big. What about, okay, do you think Daniel has a shot beating him at heavyweight?
John Jones?
DC, yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think styles make fights. And I think regardless of where they fight, I don't think that Cormier can beat him based on the length and the shortness of Cormier. Cormier is like, to me, like that alligator in the commercials with the short arms.
Yeah.
In a comparison fight to Jones.
I thought that last fight against Jon Jones, he fought a good fight. I thought he fought a good fight. It's just, it's so risky for
but
him to fight him.
He can't beat him because
yes.
of the
exactly
the natural disadvantage.
You're gonna eventually get caught.
Yep.
Like he had success, but that success comes at so much of a price. And
he could hit John once and John would tee off on him 3, 4, 5 times.
Right. The only thing you're gonna say is if you fight John, if he hits him with one of those hooks that he hit with Stipe, that'll put John's lights out. The thing is, we've never seen John that hurt. What have we seen John shook? Like, in the Gustafson fight, we saw him, we saw him in danger. He was losing the fight at one point. But have we ever seen him rocked?
No, but I thought that was more because of the pace. Any kind of, impacts that we saw from John was more attributed to the pace of which they were fighting. You know, that Gustafson fight, it was nonstop.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum. For...
And I think similar. I think similar to, like, if we were to relate it to boxing, like Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder, I thought a reason why it took Deontay so long to get into the fight is because it's the first time you're a big guy, first time you're fighting a guy who's bigger than you or as big as you. I think for John, you know, I know that he said, oh, I didn't train that hard for that fight. That's the first time he fought a guy who was about the same size as him, 6'5". It takes time to adjust to that range.
Yeah.
It's different.
Agreed.
It's different. So for DC, the only thing we can hope is that he's bringing more power with him to heavyweight. And I think you're right. I think that the margin for error is so small for him. It's almost like it's razor thin. You know, to think that he's going to be able to do that, unless we just believe that he's so much stronger that he's going to be able to take John down at will at heavyweight. And I don't know, man. John took him down.
Yeah, I don't see that. And I think that, you know, Cormier, to a certain degree, his belly gets in the way. It does. I mean, yeah. You look at him the way that he's built. Nothing wrong with that. That's his physique. That's the way he's built. And I just don't.
How's Daniel Cormier not like on every restaurant commercial? Like, the heavyweight champ of the world looks like that.
It should be the Daniel Cormier grill.
100%. Yes. He should be the new George Foreman. I agree. He should be the new George Foreman. That's a good call by you, man. All right, guys. Fighters Fury rolls on here. Got the chance to go to UFC Media Day this week and speak with some of the fighters there as we were getting ready for UFC Fort Lauderdale, but also got the chance to sit down with next week's main event player as we have UFC Philadelphia coming out, Edson Barboza against Justin Gaethje. And I got a chance to sit down with Edson Barboza, one of the top contenders in the toughest division on the planet, the UFC 155 division, as he's getting ready to face Gaethje, who's an absolute monster, who, I mean, every fight that he's in is thrilling and tough for his opponents. But Edson Barboza is no slouch either. You talk about the best kicker basically in the sport with those whips that he has coming from every single angle. So here's my conversation with the great Edson Barboza.
Very excited. We're talking to Edson Barboza. How are you, man? It's good to have you.
Very good, man. Very happy to talk to you guys.
So you're coming up March 30th against Justin Gaethje. How's the standard thing? How's camp going? How are you feeling? Are you excited for this one?
I'm very excited. That's in the camp. I'm ready to go. I feel better than ever. Cardio, strength, everything. Like I said, I'm ready to go. Can't wait.
How do you know, like, when you're in camp, when is the time usually when it's like, I'm ready? You're enjoying the grind, and then it's like, I'm ready to go already, and I can't wait till fight day.
Yeah, when I finish the camp, you do sparring, you do everything, and I feel great, you know. Everything when the train end the train, I say, wow, my card's good, my strength's there, my you know, everything's there. I think that's I'm sure right now. I finish my spar right now, and bro, I'm ready.
What do you think about this matchup, man? You're an absolute buzzsaw. This guy likes to come forward. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, everybody knows me. Everybody knows him. It's gonna be a big war. That's making me very excited. Work very hard for this fight and be ready, guys. It's gonna be a great show.
You got no, Edson. Like, there's no breaks with you, man. Like, you fight in the hardest division in the world. Everybody knows what you bring. You're so dynamic every time you're in there. Like, is it tough? You just every single camp knowing, like, man, this one's gonna be an absolute slugfest because of where you fight and how you go about your business.
Yeah, like you said, I have 20 battles in UFC. I fought against the best guys in the world. And it's a pleasure for me because I work very hard for this. You know, that's I'm very happy to see every time somebody ask about me, say about my fights, everybody get very excited. It's keeping me motivated, and I know I'm in the right way. I'm very happy with everything with my career.
Can you tell a little bit about training in South Florida, you know, finding your way here to American Top Team? What's it like training here? I mean, you guys are world-renowned as one of the best in the world, but, I mean, it's like every corner you look around, you see just a world-class fighter. What is it like getting you working here?
Man, like you said, every time you stop, you see the best guys in the world over here. Definitely, that's the best gym in the world. And I'm a pleasure to train here with those guys, the coach, everybody. Like I said, that's definitely the best team in the world.
What's if we were to talk in a year's time, where do you hope to be, Edson? Like, what's the long term goal over the next 12 months?
It's be a champ, a UFC champ, you know. I still have a contract with UFC. I have a couple fights, and that's my goal, be UFC champ. I know I have everything, and yeah, I'm ready to be a champ.
Do you go into these fights? Like you are so damn good with those kicks, like better than anybody. Do you go into fights ever worried that those things are going to get taken away? Are you always looking for the way to expose your best weapon, or do you like always unveiling new stuff? How do you go about that?
That's MMA fight. I need to be ready for everything, you know? Like I said, wherever this fight go, I'm ready. You know, I go there, like all my fights, everybody going to see the best Edson Barboza, I'm ready. Wherever this fight goes, stay in the feet, I'm ready. Go on the ground, I'm ready. The rest, I'm ready. I'm ready to have a good time in Philadelphia.
Well, he's going to be fighting March 30th. You guys definitely want to check it out. Edson Barboza, Justin Gaethje. It's going to be an absolute entertaining fight. And you're always great with the fans, man. Thank you so much, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thank you, all the fans. And March 30th, one more show, guys.
And I appreciate Edson sitting down with me, man. It was much appreciated from him. He is he's dynamic. He is really, really talented. And look forward to this fight next week. I am taking him. There's a couple reasons. One of the things that makes Justin Gaethje so tough is those kicks that he does to almost, he tries to break down his opponent. Now the last one's a little different because when he fought James Vick, he deaded him. But the thing with Justin that you have to be worried about at this point is if he doesn't steamroll you, he gets into these wars, and that body does break down, and he has hit a lot of shots. And I just feel like Edson can kind of keep him at this range where it can be really, really bad for him. You know, I know Justin was saying, oh, well, Edson's got some quit in him and all that. It's like, look, man, Edson Barboza is a tough mother bleeper. He was in there with Khabib. He took an absolute lick in that entire fight. You know, he's an absolute killer. He's taken, you know, he took a tough beating against Kevin Lee as well. So he's really, really tough. Those are two guys that can take you down, who could beat you like that. That's not really Justin's style. Like, everybody talks about his wrestling ability and that he is great in that regard from Colorado State, but he just doesn't do that. Or Northern Colorado, I forget which one it is. But he doesn't fight that style. He likes to stand up. He likes to bang with guys. So I just have a tough time believing that he's going to change that style against Edson Barboza, and Edson makes it tough as hell. If you're going to be on a striking contest with him, he's one of the best strikers on the planet, especially when it comes to those kicks. So I don't love the matchup for Justin Gaethje. I really don't. I think that this is one where he can get beat up a little bit trying to get inside and trying to get those hands on you. And I think that can end up being bad news for him in this card. Other ones that are big on that night, you got David Branch taking on Jack Hermanson, excuse me. I'm going to go with David Branch to win that at middleweight. The two above that really intrigue me, as you got Josh Emmett against Michael Johnson. Michael Johnson, who's fighting at featherweight. God, he is so talented. He really is. He is a guy who, I mean, he's the only guy to beat Dustin Poirier since Poirier has been at lightweight. So you know that the guy's cracked. He's probably got the best shot in history. It's kind of like Floyd Mayweather on Khabib. Like, everybody goes, oh, remember when Shane Mosley got Floyd Mayweather? That's kind of like Michael. Michael's got that shot on Khabib that everybody looks to and be like, oh, remember that shot that Michael Johnson got on Khabib? So he's going down in weight. Like, he is going the route of, you know, a lot of people are going up in weight and staying at their more natural weight. He is cutting, which makes him dangerous as far as the limits that these guys are a bit of a different size-wise matchup. Josh Emmett, he brings some great wrestling. He was on the doorstep, I would say, of a title shot before suffering a devastating loss to Jeremy Stephens. And if he would have won that fight against Stevens, I mean, you probably could have argued that he was going to fight for the belt. That was, man, we haven't seen him here in a while. February of 2018, so he hasn't fought in over a year. And Michael Johnson's coming off a win over Artem Lobov. Johnson did miss weight for that fight. I forgot about that. That's an interesting one. I'm going to go with Michael Johnson. I just believe in his talent. I think he's really, really good. So we'll see what goes down with that. But I'm going to go with Michael Johnson, the menace, getting the win in that one. And then you have Carolina Kolakiewicz against Michelle Waterson, the karate hottie. Man, that's a good fight. Tough fight to pick. Whew. I'm gonna go with Michelle Waterson. Man, if she wins, she really does have star written all over her. Michelle Waterson. She got featured on E60 this past week. I think that she's really, really talented at strawweight. Brings a lot of things. Speaking of strawweight, I'm gonna get to my conversation here I had this past week with one of our favorites, Kayla Rocco. She is a MMA strawweight. She just got off this reality show in South Africa, The Fighter, which is it's like a South African take, this promotion's take on The Ultimate Fighter. And she went over to South Africa and had a cool little journey. And we've talked to Kayla on the show before, and she's got a great personality, man. She's very dynamic as a fighter. She's going to be making her pro debut very, very soon. She trains an American Top Team with, I mean, just the who's who over there as far as women's MMA is concerned. She's training over there and recruited by Dean Thomas. So you know that guy's got an absolute eye for talent. And I think that we'll be excited once her career gets going. But this was an interesting journey that she got to take and get going. And so this is my conversation with Kayla Rocco. And you guys can enjoy that. She has a really cool story, and I think you guys will enjoy it.
All right, guys, we're here at American Top Team, Fighters Fury. Very excited to be talking to our next guest, Kayla Rocco. She is up and coming, dynamic, and she is just back from South Africa. You were with give me the league again. What was it that you were fighting with, and what was the show?
It is Extreme Fighting Championships, EFC, based out of South Africa, and the show is called EFC The Fighter 2.
So how the hell did you end up in South Africa? You're here in Coconut Creek. You know, you've been training, and you're getting ready for your pro debut and all that stuff. How did you get the opportunity to be on a reality show in South Africa?
So about a week before the show, actually, my manager reached out to me, and also my gym reached out to me. EFC said they were looking for one or two more contestants for the show. And it was so last minute, but it was just an opportunity of a lifetime. And so I pounced on it. So a week later, I was on a flight to South Africa, and I was there for 6 weeks.
How many ladies were on the show? How did it all go down? And what was that like? Like, cameras all around? That had to be odd, just, you know, having to be – was it weird being on all the time?
So the show was actually a flyweight tournament. The winner of the show gets an opportunity to fight their flyweight and actually bantamweight champ, Amanda Lino. I technically am a strawweight. And after I signed up for the show, the rules ended up being changed a little bit, so girls could weigh in at 132. So I was going out to South Africa and fighting almost two weight classes above mine, which is unfortunate, but it was still an amazing experience that I wouldn't change for anything. So out of 10 girls, I was actually chosen second. And in my first fight, I fought the first ranked girl. So, I mean, that was kind of unfortunate, but it was a huge challenge, and I was so excited to take on that challenge. It didn't go my way. It was a close fight. It was a war. I'm proud of my performance, especially against a girl that was much bigger than me, much more experienced than me. So, you know, I just got to take away the good things from that experience and just get better from it.
Was that hard at the time dealing with that, knowing that kind of got switched up on you, or, you know, you're just kind of getting into this? These are the I'm sure the tough things that, you know, go with the start of your career, but that's definitely a wrinkle they're throwing at you, that you have to fight somebody that much bigger than you.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't happy about the weight change, because, I mean, people who know the sport know how much of a difference that weight can make. But it didn't deter me from continuing to go on with the tournament. I felt like it was worth it. These fights didn't count against my record, so I looked at it as free experience. I looked at it as a challenge. And I'm just happy to have gotten some pro experience before I even turned pro. Feel like that, you know, that not many people get that opportunity.
What was South Africa like? Was it was this like your first experience getting to go see the world and have that much time away from America?
So I have been out of the country. I did a little Europe trip for 3 weeks a while ago. So I have been out of the country a little bit, but South Africa was, it was beautiful. Honestly, it wasn't what I expected. So I'm really glad I got to go see a little bit of the culture, have some free time, and just, you know, see what they're about. So I really can't wait to go back.
What's the setup for the show? Like, is it kind of like Ultimate Fighter style? Like, are you stuck in a house with these fighters? Is there any drama that goes down? Is that easy to deal with? Because I'm sure you're all gunning for the same thing. Does that get weird?
So it is similar to the Ultimate Fighter. There are 10 girls in a house. It was a pretty small house too, so we were all pretty close together. No, it wasn't a mansion. I think they actually used a mansion last year, and they said that, you know, people were too far apart, so they didn't have a lot of like interaction. So they kind of went the opposite way this year and put us in a really small space. To be honest, the 10 girls that were there were all really cool, really chill. I was surprised by that. You know, we had a really solid group of girls, so there wasn't much drama or you know, problems in the house at all. We all just kind of stayed focused, and we had fun as well.
How does that go training-wise? Like, what do you learn from coaches? How do the sessions go? And then how do you know, like, how to throttle in and throttle out when you're in a tournament situation and get ready for your fights? And you obviously didn't have to worry about weight, but how did that go for you?
So the training, the two teams do train separately. We have our own separate schedules and training sessions. The training was great. We trained super hard, you know, like I was in a camp. The short notice fighting was, it was a different experience. You know, I think I had 3 days to prepare for my fight. So it is challenging, especially when you're preparing for, you know, a really solid opponent. That's hard, but it was a good challenge, and it was a good experience to take into the future, to be able to kind of switch on in that short amount of time.
Was it odd, or was it good for you? Did you find, I mean, you trained at American Top Team, which is, you know, obviously renowned as one of the best gyms in the world, and I'm sure you train with a lot of familiar faces. So was that good for you, getting to just be in there with new blood?
Yeah, absolutely. So I train here at American Top Team with some really high-level fighters. Part of the reason I wanted to jump on this opportunity was to be able to test myself against different bodies. Obviously, I test that in a fight, but it's not often where I get to test my skills against new fighters from around the world with a ton of different skills. So that was a great part of the experience.
And what do you think for yourself, Kayla? Like, you you come back into America. Do you have, I guess, the plan laid out for when you do want to make the pro debut and get things rolling in that direction?
So my next fight is definitely my pro debut. I don't have anything scheduled yet. I would like to fight around June or after that, maybe July. So right now I'm just kind of shopping around, seeing what opportunities come my way, and whatever comes, I'll be ready for it.
How does that process work? Like, is it trying to find, like, I don't think people ever get a look into that. Like, do you find, like, promotions are do you have to make sure they're trustworthy? Like, do you have to make sure that it's in a place that you want to be and be viable? Like, I've heard about horror stories about, like, you know, fights getting canceled last minute and stuff like that. Is that something like your manager takes care of as far as protecting you from that kind of stuff? How does that go?
So luckily, I have a really good manager, Julian Gregorio, also a really good coach, Dean Thomas, who will kind of make that decision for me. I feel like shopping around for promotions, it's just finding a promotion that likes you, wants to work with you, and is willing to give you that right opportunity. It's really about the fight. You know, it's not about the money. It's not really about the big name promotions, but it's about the fight that I feel comfortable with, the fight that I feel like I need in order to take that first step in my professional career.
Speaking of careers, so you're getting to radio. This is your new thing. You're going up to ESPN 106.3. That's what's going down. How do you feel behind the microphone?
How do I feel behind the microphone? Good question. Radio is different. You know, it's another huge challenge. And I just feel like the more comfortable I get, the more comfortable I'll get doing interviews and stuff like that. So I think it's really good practice. And I'm excited to kind of venture off into a new challenge with ESPN West Palm.
And you can just trash talk and not have to worry about ramifications. It's really fantastic. I love talking trash to people I'd never have to deal with.
I have to get better at that. There's so many, you know, I got Josh, Dean, and Ken to all make fun of a little bit. So I know they'll dish it out to me. I've got to be able to dish it back for sure.
Well, Kayla Rocker, we're looking forward to seeing your debut. Thank you for sharing your story of your trip to South Africa. It sounds like it was an awesome experience for you. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to continuing to watch your career.
Thank you so much.
That's our show for today, everybody. Have a great rest of your week. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back same time, same place next week. Myself and Seema getting it going. And we'll, of course, have all reaction to UFC Philadelphia and all the other fight action that's going down here in the combat world universe. Talk to you then.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.